brought to you by Penguin.
Heiress Rebel Vigilante Bomber by Sean O'Driscoll. Read by Jerry O'Brien. To Sean Oak, may he grow up in an Ireland at peace. Prologue. March 1958. They enter the powder room of Buckingham Palace for a final review. Yardley's feather finish cream powder, Goya's kiss again lipstick, applied slowly in the mirror with a pucker of the lips, Elizabeth Arden's bluegrass perfume, dabbed from tiny bottles and purses. Rose adjusts her dress, fitted by Worth of London. It is white and shoulderless, in keeping with the style of the 1958 season. She looks in the mirror. She knows that this is not the world she wants to inhabit, that there is, as she will put it decades later, another world somewhere, where she could be herself. Rose greets her friend Meg Poole, who has arrived with her father and Lady Kilmure, the wife of the Lord Chancellor. Because of her status, Lady Kilmure was allowed to bring Meg up a back stairway, avoiding the long queue of debutantes waiting to enter the palace. "I was wearing a blue dress," Meg will remember. "It was the style of that year, this hideous balloon bulge at the bottom. It truly was ghastly. And we all had to have long gloves to the elbow. I remember thinking, I will never wear these again." Rose adjusts her dress. Underneath is a girdle of great complexity. She adjusts her hair. The girls share mints. When the debutantes emerge smiling, bemedaled royal chaperones are waiting. Middle-aged men who fought in the war and who volunteer for royal ceremonies. The young women walk down the corridor in silence. This is a last chance for Rose to mentally rehearse the curtsy learned at Madame Vacani's school of dance on Brompton Road in Knightsbridge, where hundreds of girls were sent each year to learn how to comport themselves before royalty. The chaperones lead them into the reception room, and the debutantes sit on long rows of golden chairs. Meg and Rose whisper to each other. Most of the girls are dressed in white, signifying their virginal status for the husband-hunting season that lies ahead of them. Meg would recall, "Uniformed footmen came in to make sure we were not messing about, to frighten us, but we were too nervous to do anything." In Rose's hands are two cards. The first reads, "To be presented." She hands it to a servant, who takes it with a smile. The palace guards, silent and bearing long axes, swing open the door. She enters the ballroom.
"Miss Rose Dugdale," a guard announces.
She walks, with poise learned in finishing school and refined by Madame Vacani, to the center of the room. There she turns to face the Queen and her consort, Prince Philip. The royal couple sit on thrones inside an Indian shaminya. Rose smiles. She throws out her chest, bustles her dress, and with outstretched arms sinks to the ground and curtsies. The Queen smiles and nods. Rose rises. Prince Philip nods. She does another swan dive curtsy for him. She is now blessed to begin the season. The year-long list of dinner parties, dances, horse shows and balls that mark her out as an upper-class virgin waiting to be plucked. The Buckingham Palace curtsy is what Jessica Mitford, in Ons and Rebels, calls the specific upper-class version of the puberty rite. It is also an acknowledgement that one is not of the very highest class, that in order to maximise one's chances of ending up with a suitable husband, a house in the country and some babies, one is willing to bend to the ground before royalty. After the ceremony, Rose is led to the green dining room, to be reunited with her father, who stands with a rictus smile and hugs her. She can loosen her posture and have the traditional post-curtsy chocolate cake. "I didn't stay long and..."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?